You're listening to the Home Base Podcast. This week, we're taking a whole episode just to talk baby DIY. So sit back, relax, listen to some fun do-it-yourselfers that you can do with baby. Hey there, everybody. Hope you all had a fantastic week. Honestly, it feels like forever since I've been over here recording, but it's only been a week. Crazy. I am so excited for this week's episode. It's all DIY stuff. So it's going to be a really fun episode. I'm going to be sharing all sorts of creative DIY stuff for you guys. And this one we're going to keep kind of themed to baby, infant, toddler age range, because we're going to do more DIY episodes and we'll branch out into kind of older kids and so on. But I'm so excited. This is so in my wheelhouse. This is the stuff I'm super, uber passionate about, and I'm so excited to be sharing it with all of you. Hopefully we can spark a fire and get things going. So, yeah, so that's on our agenda today. And you know what? I loved it so much that we had some extra music at the beginning. So in honor of my husband, if you all listened to last week's episode, let's insert some music because I just want to get this party started. Woo! Back. Isn't that music so fun? I listened to so much music when I was trying to pick out our theme music for the podcast, and I just love this song, and it just makes me so happy. So I hope you guys enjoy it too. So we have some fun, exciting things going on here at the Home Base Podcast headquarters. Lots of exciting things going on this week, guys. We are super, super official now. I changed the URL on the website, so it's super easy to find now. Instead of it being mayandpotete.wordpress.com, which who on earth could possibly remember that, it's just simply homebasepodcast.com. So I'm super excited about that. You guys can go check it out. Super easy to remember. We're over the moon. We finally registered our domain name and we're official. And just to continue with all the officialness, we now have a Home Base Podcast Instagram. So handle for that is at Home Base Podcast. And we also are on Periscope. So if you guys haven't entered into the world of Periscope, you seriously should. Some really kind of cool little statistic I was reading about is they just hit a couple days ago, I think it'll be almost like a week ago by the time this is airing. So about a week ago, they hit 10 million users on Periscope, and it took Twitter 2 years to get to 10 million, and it took Facebook 10 months. So, and it took Twitter 2 years to get to 1 million. So, Periscope is already super ahead of the rest, and it's so fun. So if you don't know what it is basically it's just live videos. Think YouTube, but live. So you get an account, and you can go on there, and you can look anywhere in the entire world, and it'll show you people that are doing live videos. They can be a couple minutes long. Some of them can be a couple hours. There's no criteria of how long or how short they have to be. You just basically press play and it starts recording you live and you're talking to whoever is listening to your video. So I've been doing some Periscope videos this week. Actually today, which is Saturday the 14th of August, I did a video on making mango applesauce. So which we're going to be talking about that later. But if you guys want to watch the video, the one thing about Periscope is the videos are only available for 24 hours. But there's this website that you can register for an account, and it will hold all of your videos so people can watch them over and over and over. So if you guys are really interested in some of the videos I've been doing, you can go check them out. And the website for that is catch, K-A-T-C-H .me.com/homebasepodcast. I know that's kind of a lot to remember, but I'm going to put it in the show notes so you guys can look in there and you can click on it and go check it out and make you some mango applesauce. It was really tasty. And then you guys will finally get to see me and you'll get to see Baby Hunter and you can put some faces with names. It's super fun. I'm really excited about it. But if you want to, if you have Periscope and you want to go over and follow us, you'll get a notification anytime I do a video. It'll pop up and say, Homebase Podcast is doing a video right now. And you can click on it and you can say hi and you can shout out questions to me. So very, very exciting. So our handle for that is also at Homebase Podcast. So check us out on Periscope. And actually next week's episode, I'm very, very excited slash nervous. I'm going to be recording it live. So you guys will be, if you want to, you can tune in on Periscope and watch me record the podcast. So you'll get the completely unedited, uncut version of it, which might be kind of scary. So super exciting. Lots of things going on there. And yeah. So I'm so jazzed, guys. I hope you all are too. So while I'm dropping a bunch of info on you guys, I already told you about the blog that you can go check it out, website. I told you about Instagram, and we're on Periscope, and we've always been on Twitter, at Homebase Podcast. Basically, you can find us anywhere but Facebook, because I'm stubborn, and I'm, like, fighting the whole Facebook thing. But you can find us almost anywhere else, so check us out, and everywhere, we're just Homebase Podcast. So, super easy to remember. I'm so excited, you guys. And don't forget, we also have our email too. You guys can send me in. I don't know why I say us all the time. It's because we're a family here. But you can send me in emails and I will respond to them. And if there's anything you guys want me to talk about, please. Like, we had a few people that were talking about the whole identity crisis thing, which I feel like we covered pretty thoroughly the past 2 weeks. If you haven't listened to those episodes, be sure to check them out. I posted a short post on the website about identity crisis after we did that podcast episode, and it's been amazing the feedback we've gotten from it. It's just really touched and helped a lot of people. So be sure to listen to that episode or save it in your podcast and re-listen to it later. I think that one was a really good episode. I was really, really excited to hear the overwhelming response of how many people really enjoyed it. So continue to reach out to us and please go to iTunes and subscribe. I love it. And I also love it when you guys leave me some reviews on there so that we can branch out on iTunes and get more people listening. And plus, the reviews are just super fun for me to read. And they don't all have to be great. Don't feel like you have to get on there and be like, 5 stars. All right, anyways, so moving on. Oh, and Pinterest. We're on Pinterest too, but the link to that is on the website. I'm not going to bore you guys with how to find us on Pinterest. My Pinterest link is on there, and it's actually my personal Pinterest account, so you guys can see everything that I post on there, not just home-based stuff. So, DIY. Chances are you guys type that into your computers several times a week. Looking for DIY this, DIY that. And if you don't, hopefully you will. By the end of this podcast, you'll be so pumped up you want to start making and doing your own stuff. So kind of just to start off, like, why DIY? Why do it yourself? There's endless reasons why. But some of the reasons why I like doing and making things myself in our home is just typically it's healthier, whatever you're making. If it's food related or cleaning products, it's typically healthier. It's typically a lot cheaper. And it's so much fun. It's so much fun. A lot of these, almost, honestly, not a lot, all of these things on this list that I'm sharing with you guys today is a lot of fun. You're going to have fun doing it. You're going to have fun making it. And then there's this super rewarding feeling when you're sharing something with your family, with your kids, with friends that you've made, and they love it, and it's just so rewarding. So if you don't currently make or create or do a lot of things yourself, I really encourage you, just start somewhere. Find something. Maybe your thing is going to be cleaning products. Maybe you're trying to get a little greener, cut down on some chemicals in your house. Start with your cleaning products. Maybe you just want to do some really awesome crafts with your kids, and you don't want them, you know, you're trying to cut out some screen time and you need some awesome craft ideas, then do that. Make that your thing. Maybe you just want to cook a little bit more. I know me and my husband, before we had baby, we ate out all the time because it was just the two of us, and cooking for two is so, it seemed to me so boring. I don't want to say it's so boring because I still basically am cooking for two, and I've found ways to really make it work and enjoy it. So find things that are kind of in your niche and then just expand on it. And Pinterest is great for that. I know you guys hear me basically preach Pinterest every single week, but it really is, I think, a game changer. And I know there are, there's a lot of like stay-at-home mom, working mom, Pinterest battles, wars going on online, and it's kind of a little ridiculous. I know it gets difficult if you're a working mom or dad, parent, whatever, and you don't have the time that stay-at-home parents have. And I'm not saying stay-at-home parents have all this downtime. Yes, I have a little bit more downtime than probably the working mom does, but I still have a lot going on in my day, I promise. But, you know, I think people, they get frustrated when they see people on Pinterest that look like every aspect of their life is creative and colorful, and, you know, sometimes that can be daunting if you're a working parent because you're like, I just don't have time to do all this and do this and this, and, you know, and it gets frustrating. And there have been a lot of posts online of these working parents lashing out at stay-at-home parents that are doing all these things. And then it's been vice versa. You know, there's constantly battles going on in the mommy world, and I honestly choose to just not even get involved. So please don't take this as me getting involved. I'm standing on the sidelines. I'm Switzerland here. So I just want to encourage you, no matter what situation you're in, to realize that you can do these things. It's not as overwhelming. Most do-it-yourself things are simple, and they're easy, they're inexpensive. You can make time for it, I promise. It's not as overwhelming as it looks, okay? And I also want to let you know, just from a stay-at-home mom's perspective, that if you do throw yourself into a lot of activities and stuff like this with your kids, chances are you're letting something else go in the house. So, like, my house isn't always perfectly clean, but that's okay. To me, it's more important to be with my child and spend time with my husband and cook us dinner. To me, that's more important. It may be more important to you to have a clean house, and so then that means maybe you order in. You know, so I really think it's whatever you're comfortable with. So if I can say anything, don't lash out at people because you think they're doing it all. No one is doing it all. If they are, they're not doing it alone. They have help. So don't take it personal. All right, so moving on away from that and the whole mommy wars topic, let's dive into our DIY things today. I'm so excited about this list. And I also want to let you guys know, a lot of things, and I'll let you know as we go through them what things, but a lot of things on this list I'm going to be doing videos on Periscope, so you guys should really check out that, check out Periscope and follow us on there, and if you don't get the videos in time before they're off of Periscope, then check out that catch.me.com/homebasepodcast and watch some of these videos, because then me talking about it is only going to, you know, some of you are going to be visual and you're going to need to just see it. So the videos will be really fun and handy to go along with that. So the first thing on my list is, and it's honestly the first thing for a reason. A lot of you out there, if you have itty bitty ones or you have kids, you've probably used gripe water at some point. Okay, gripe water, G-R-I-P-E. It's a little liquid that is supposed to help your babies if they're gassy, if they have belly aches, just to kind of settle those stomachs. Ingredients that you can find in most gripe waters in the store, alongside a lot of chemicals and not all natural things. You can find ginger, licorice. I don't think there's typically peppermint in there, because I think peppermint isn't supposed, I don't think kids under a year old are supposed to really have peppermint. But it's going to have things in there to help ease digestion and gas and bloating and things like that. So we actually found an all-natural brand of gripe water at the grocery store, and we were buying that because I try to be a little all-natural with what I give my little teeny tiny infant. And we were giving it to him when he was teeny tiny, like when he was brand new. Because it said on the bottle you could give it to them for hiccups. And what's kind of cool about that is hiccups, I was reading in infants, why they hiccup so much is they're learning to swallow and breathe through their mouth. And when they're that little, their breathing and swallowing gets out of sync, and that's what causes the hiccups. So there's an old wives' tale that says if your kid's hiccuping a lot, then they're going through a growth spurt. And I don't know. That might actually be true, something in there about their swallowing and stuff getting off track. But so a really easy way to fix that then, knowing how that problem is coming about, is to just drink something, because then they're breathing and they're swallowing to drink something down, and not like take a sip and put it down, like sit there and gulp, 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 gulp. They're gonna get back in their little rhythm of breathing and swallowing. And okay, so we were giving him gripe water when he was really little because he was getting hiccups like 10 times a day, and I felt so bad for him. He's this tiny little baby and he's hiccuping. And so we gave him gripe water, and we have a little tiny measuring cup, and it has like a little nipple that you can screw on the top. So he wasn't holding an entire bottle. It was this little like 1 ounce measuring cup. And we would just put like half a tablespoon of the gripe water in there. And then he takes a vitamin D supplement, so we would put the supplement in there too once a day. And he would just sit there and suck it down, and his hiccups are gone. I mean, each time, by the time he's done drinking that down, hiccups are gone. So it's really nice for that, I will say. But so we were buying this gripe water. I mean, we were going through a bottle probably once a month, and so these bottles, since it was the all natural, it was like $8. So $8 a month we were spending on this gripe water. And I found a recipe online for homemade gripe water, and this stuff is so incredibly easy to make, and it makes a ton. So I don't even measure out the gripe water anymore when I give it to them. I just kind of pour some in the little measuring medicine cup, because I'm like, this stuff is so cheap and so easy to make, it doesn't even matter. So homemade gripe water, it literally takes you minutes to make. It's super, super easy. So you are going to boil some water, and you're going to put, and I do, I'm trying to remember, do I do a cup? Honestly, I just use my Keurig. I use my Keurig, and I just, I do the Keurig, and I do like the large coffee cup on there. I think it might be like a cup and a half or 2 cups, okay? Somewhere in there. I think it's a cup and a half. If you do the large setting on the Keurig. But anyway, so boil up about a cup and a half to 2 cups of water, and you're going to put in there 1 bag of chamomile tea and 1 bag of ginger lemon tea. And it took me a second to find this, but they're Bigelow is the brand, and they make a lemon ginger tea plus probiotic support. So you're getting those added probiotics in there, which is absolutely great. So look for Bigelow. They have a lemon ginger tea plus probiotics. So your 1 bag of chamomile, your 1 bag of lemon ginger tea, and then if you have, I have one of these awesome little loose leaf tea steepers that you can put in your hot water and it steeps the tea and the loose leaf doesn't get everywhere, you know. If you don't have one of those, you can just pour these two items straight into the water and just strain it later. But you're going to do a teaspoon of fennel and a teaspoon of dill, and you're going to put it in there and you're going to let all that steep in your water. And I just let it steep a good 15 minutes. And then when it's done, you're just going to take everything out and pour it in a jar. And there you go. You have homemade gripe water. The gripe water we were buying came in these adorable little glass jars. And so I typically just fill up the jar and I put the rest in the freezer. And I just pull it out and refill the jar as needed. So that's really nice. Kind of an added benefit there. The recipe I found online does call for a teaspoon of raw sugar. I don't put it in there, and my son has no problems. I mean, it is bitter. I've tasted it. It is a little bitter, but he loves it. He drinks it straight down, no problem. So if you are having trouble with your little ones drinking it, you could add in a teaspoon of raw sugar. Or you could even try like stevia or something. Just stay away from honey with kids under 1 year of age. They can't have honey. So just stick away from that. So super easy, right? That sounds super easy. You're just brewing tea, basically. That's it. And I listed 4 ingredients, if you're not counting the sugar. 4 ingredients. Super easy. And most of them, chances are, outside of the lemon ginger tea, you probably have most of them in your house already. So super easy. And if I didn't say earlier, guys, don't worry about, like, if you're listening to this and you don't have pencil and paper next to you, don't worry about it. You know me. I'm going to make a post on the website that will have links to everything we talk about today. So we're just talking about it because I want to get you guys stoked. I want to get everybody super excited about DIY stuff because I want you all out there having fun with your babies. So homemade gripe water. Woo woo. I absolutely love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right, what's next on our list? I know I have talked about homemade puffs a lot, so I'm not going to bore you guys with it, and I've tweeted the recipe, the puffs recipe, and I've talked about it in previous episodes, but homemade puffs, I am going to do a Periscope video for it. Actually, I think I'm going to do it tomorrow, which will be Sunday, so if you guys are listening to this Monday, you should be able to still see it, and hopefully I'll get to it tomorrow. If I don't, I might just do it Monday. Either way, there will be a Periscope video for the homemade puffs coming to you guys in the next couple days. So stay tuned for that and you guys can see how I make those there. And I really seriously check those out because my son loves them. If he's having one of those, like, he's teething, guys. He's teething. He broke his second tooth, broke the skin yesterday. And, you know, when he has those really, like, grumpy, clingy days and he just doesn't want to sit still and eat anything, he will eat these puffs. So, really check out the puffs recipe. I just cannot praise them enough. Homemade baby pancakes. I tweeted a picture of some. I was up at like 10 o'clock at night a couple weeks ago making homemade baby pancakes. And the recipe is really cool. It's got infant cereal in it and it's got like mashed banana. And I was reading in the comments of the blog that I found this recipe on. Some people have made them with sweet potatoes instead of bananas and they say it's really good. He really enjoys the baby pancakes. They're like the size of a silver dollar and he just loves them. But yeah, I was, because it makes so many and since they're so small, I was standing there for like an hour and a half flipping little silver dollar pancakes. So I was, needless to say, doing it from like 10 to almost midnight one night because that's about the only time I get that I can do stuff like that. So, baby pancakes, unfortunately, I won't have a Periscope video coming for those for a while because we're stocked up, but as soon as we run out, I will be doing a video for them, you better believe it. So, please, I cannot say it enough, go on Periscope and follow us because there's going to be some really great content on there coming your guys' way very soon. Next on our list, another thing that I've talked about a lot, so I'm not going to overbore you guys with it again, but sensory bottles. So this is a super easy DIY. Take any kind of bottle. It can be plastic. It can be a jar. And that's actually the next item on my list is sensory jars. So sensory bottles and sensory jars, super easy to make. The possibilities are endless. You can fill them up with water and food coloring and glitter and buttons and hot glue that lid on so they can't get it off and they shake it and it's so much fun. I like with the jars, I like to put things in it like we went on a nature walk the other day and I took them out and we went walking. There's a little trail by our house. And we were walking on the trail and we found some acorns and some sticks and some leaves and we put it in our jar and I put the lid on and since he's only 8 months, he doesn't know how to take lids off yet. So I just screwed on there nice and tight. Your older ones, you might need to hot glue it on there. But if your child's not putting everything in their mouth like mine is, you probably don't have to because then if they take it out and want to, you know, play with it and feel it and touch it, that's great. So we fill up the little jar with like nature stuff and then he gets to look at it. And we did things like leaves, guys. I'm not saying everybody needs to go out and like find bugs and worms and things. Please, if you're going to do animals, be responsible about it. Research the how to keep them so that they don't die. So sensory bottles and sensory jars, and I have put tons of pictures on Pinterest, on Twitter, and on the website of what these look like, and you better believe there will be a Periscope video coming soon, so those are thoroughly, thoroughly covered. You guys can check those out. Rattles. Okay, so I know this is probably one of the oldest DIYs for babies ever. But I cannot tell you guys how much my 8-month-old loves this. So we had a jar. It was some freebie of baby food that I got. I know you guys are like, you make your own baby food. I do. We did get a sample of some once and it was really good applesauce. And after he ate it, I saved the little jar and washed it out and peeled off the label and got the goo gone out, got all the stickies off. So it was this beautiful, cute little glass jar. And I filled it up with navy, like little white navy beans. You could do popcorn kernels. You could do any kind of dry bean, lentils, whatever. And all I did was fill it up and put the lid on, and he loves that thing. It's small enough, since it's a baby food jar, it's small enough that he can, like, hold it. He can hold it now with one hand, but when he was really little, he had to, like, pick it up with two hands, so it was so precious watching him pick it up with two hands and, like, bring it up to his mouth, and he chews on, like, the edges of the lid, and then sometimes when he's really, like, excited, he'll shake it, and it's so cute, and he's had that jar now, I think, for, like, 5 months or so, and he's not sick of it. I have this little bucket of toys in our living room, and every couple days I change the toys that are in the bucket with his big toy box that's in his room, and when he sees the little jar in there, it's like one of the first things he goes for. He loves this jar. It's crazy. So super easy little rattle there, you guys can make. And what's really fun about the baby food jars is they are really small, and you can make a lot of jars of just different things for them to look at. And maybe your kids aren't old enough that they really understand to shake something. Maybe they're teeny tiny and they just want to look at different stuff. I did one once, a baby food jar, and I filled it up with mini marshmallows. They were just a fun texture to look at. And if you get the colored ones, then it's even more colors and fun things to look at. What else could you put in there? You could put some cinnamon sticks in there. And then if you do that, what's really cool is you can punch some holes in the lid, and then they can smell it. And you guys can get really creative with the baby food jars. They're such a great size, and there's so many things you could do. And what's really fun with the whole idea of punching holes in the top is if you get like a nail and a hammer, you can puncture little tiny holes in there and fill it up with all sorts of different things. I've done like craisins, cinnamon sticks, mini marshmallows, things that they can smell, and you make this little sensory tub, and then you can let them smell it. And you honestly, if you're going to sit there and explore it with them and they're going to be supervised, you don't have to punch holes in the lids. You can just unscrew the lid and then hold it under their nose. I like making everything to where he can hands-on explore it, and I don't have to worry about him choking or anything like that. So I like doing the holes in the lids. Eventually, yeah, the stuff in there, it gets stale and you have to replace it. But honestly, that's a good thing, I think, because then it's encouraging you to have to change things up a bit. You know, you don't want them continuously smelling the same 5 smells, you know. All right, so homemade sensory bottles, jars, rattles, smelling jars. Oh, here we go. This one, so easy. As you guys probably know, if you've been following us on Twitter at all, I am a huge, and no, I take it back, I've talked about it on here. I love Aldi, the grocery store. Aldi is great. And what I really love about Aldi is their eggs. So they buy like local eggs. So I don't know if it's the same at every Aldi, but I know our eggs come in a actual like carton, like the old school carton, not the styrofoam, not the plastic. It's like the cardboard carton. So I hate throwing those away because I think they're awesome. There's so many cool things you can do with them. And so I just gave it to my son one day, and he has the greatest time playing with it. He opens and closes it, and he puts his little toys in there and then closes it. It's super cute. And as they get older, there's all sorts of things you can do with egg cartons. You can get on Pinterest. You can even give them just different colored blocks, and they have so much fun sorting them into the different holes. Another really cool thing is if you are really into composting and recycling and reusing things, if you hang on to your egg shells, you can fill them with dirt and you can start a little herb garden and then keep them in your egg carton. It's so cute, so cute. I'm going to get all this on the website, and I can't wait because this post is going to be amazing, and I hope you guys all come and check it out because it's going to have so many great ideas. And what I love so much about these ideas is they're all so easy. They're so easy, guys. Most of this stuff is in your house, and most of these activities are going to take you like 5-10 minutes tops. So you guys can carve out 5-10 minutes. I know you can. And I have to tell you, along the whole egg carton thing, this really funny story. So there is this container of buttons that has been in my family. So it was my great-grandmother's buttons, and it's just this container, and I honestly don't even know where she got them all, if she just from different sewing projects or what, but this container is full of all these beautiful buttons. Some of them are not really great, and then other ones are like crystal and glass and beautiful and big and weird, and some are leathery, and there's so many different things for little kids to look at and explore, and they're teeny and tiny. And when I was a kid, so my great-grandmother gave this collection of buttons, I like really struggle saying that word, buttons, to my mother, and then my mother would let me play with it as a kid, and she would always give it to me with an egg carton, and I would sit there and I would sort all of them into different holes in the egg carton. I would sort them by color, by sizes, by my favorites, by my least favorites, and I would be happy for ever doing this. And she only pulled it out every once in a while. It was this little treat, and I have like the greatest memories of these buttons. And I am so happy to say that I now own the container of buttons. I'm so excited. I can't wait until my little boy is a little older and doesn't stick everything in his mouth, because we're going to have so much fun playing with them with egg cartons. I can't wait. Such great memories. But I don't know what the fascination is with kids and egg cartons, but there's so much fascination there, and there's so much they can do. So before you throw yours away next time, just hand it right over to your kids. They'll find something to do with it. And if you have older kids, I know there's all sorts of like cool forts and things, pictures on Pinterest I've seen of kids that they add to it, and they add egg carton after egg carton, and they use milk jugs and cereal boxes. So just start like a collection in your house of this stuff, and you never know what you're going to do with it. And I know we did that when I was a teacher. We just had this area. We had this cupboard in our classroom that was full of cereal boxes and egg cartons and milk jugs, and we did all sorts of crazy things with them. It was a lot of fun. This next thing is something I just discovered this week, and I'm loving it so far. I'll just get into it. I keep giving you guys like these big long setups of it. I should just start talking about it, Megan. Come on. So this week my son had this really awful diaper rash, and we let him roll around naked and let it kind of get some air time, and normally that clears it up, and it wasn't clearing it up this time. And so we were putting Vaseline on it. That wasn't really working. And we've got some diaper creams like Destin and stuff like that. Honestly, I hate using them. I'd rather do something a little bit more natural, but I was trying them out. Nothing was really working. And so I was reading online, trying to find a recipe or something I hadn't tried, and I stumbled across a super easy, because I'm all about easy, guys, a super easy recipe, coconut oil, and then it had lavender essential oil in it. And it said on there you didn't even have to do the lavender unless you wanted to. I have lavender essential oil, and I love essential oils. You guys know that. And our essential oil episode is coming super soon. I'm so excited about it. But so I made this. I just melted down the coconut oil and added a couple drops of lavender. And I put it in this cute little container and stuck it in the fridge so it got re-solidified. And then I just pull it out and I just rub my finger on it and it melts. And so then I just take my finger and rub it wherever we're needing the cream. And it worked. It cleared it up, you guys. I was so excited about it. And then I was reading on there that these people were using this cream. They just used it like as their baby's lotion too. And I have to tell you, we've been battling with like eczema. He gets these little patches here and there. They get real red and irritated. And I just haven't been able to find a lotion that I absolutely love. And I've tried ones geared specifically toward eczema. I've been putting Aquaphor on it. And that will clear it up. But I can't rub him down his entire body in Aquaphor, you know, after each bath. That he would be so sticky. And that would just be gross. So I've been looking for, like, a lotion to put on him. And they suggested just doing this diaper cream all over them. So I did it. The past two times I've given him a bath, I just take our little cream, and it's crazy, like the tiniest amount, once you rub your hands together, it melts it, and it covers, like I'm not using hardly anything to cover his whole body, and it works. His eczema is so much better. We haven't had any more breakouts the past couple days. I'm so excited. I'm not saying it's cleared it up entirely. You can still see like some spots, but It's just as cleared up as the Aquaphor was getting it. So I'm really impressed with it. So super easy, coconut oil, and then a couple drops of lavender essential oil, or Roman chamomile. It was one of the two, and I have both, so I think I put both in there. So super easy. Super quick, super fast. The only problem with coconut oil is if you throw it in your diaper bag and take it like with you out in the car, it does melt. If it gets over 70 degrees, it does melt. So you might want to put it like in a jar or something. Like I was putting it in this little tiny like I don't know how to describe it. It was like a little tin, and just it had like a little screw-on lid, and it was really small, and it was kind of messy. So I would suggest putting it in a jar with some extra room in there. That way, if it did melt, you could just like dip your finger down in it and then rub that on them, because it doesn't have to be solid for you to put it on. You just don't want it spilling or leaking out anywhere. So make sure it's just sealed really well, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So diaper cream, and then right along with that, on the same post, I found a recipe, and I haven't got to try it yet because I just bought a box of wipes, and so I'm not going to throw away all these wipes. I guess I could use them for something else, you know. Our cats have hairballs I'm constantly cleaning up. Or I could use them on the counters. And I guess I could use them for something else. So maybe I should try them. But I found a recipe for your own wipes. And there were two different ways you could do it. So if you're into cloth diapers and you do the cloth wipes, you could put it in a spray bottle. And then you're just spraying their bottoms and then wiping it with the cloth wipe. So that was one way to use the recipe. Or what you do is you take your container that your wipes are normally in or you normally store them in. You get a roll of paper towels. Cut the roll in half and take the cardboard section in the middle out. Okay, take the tube out. And then you're going to put the half roll in your wipe container, and you're going to pour the solution over top of it. It's going to soak in all your wipes, and then there you go. You just pull your wipes out like normal. So I'll put the post on there. The recipe is super simple. It's water, a little bit of baby soap, and then a little bit of coconut oil. And again, a couple essential oils if you wanted them in there. You don't have to use them. But you can add them for added awesomeness. So I'm going to use those recipes when I can, and I will get those posted on there too. But I haven't decided yet if I'm going to do them soon. I can't decide. I hate wasting stuff. So I just bought all these wipes, and I'm like, I feel like they're what's causing the diaper rash, so I hate to use them on him, but I also hate to just waste them. I should just find other ways to use them in the house. I know. I sound like a bad parent. I'm like, it's causing diaper rash, but I'm going to use it anyhow. Oh, bless this kid's heart. He has such sensitive skin and he gets it from me. I have such ridiculously sensitive skin. It's obnoxious. So, diaper cream and wipes. And actually, I think the wipe solution, they were saying they also use it as like baby shampoo. So, I guess it's pretty universal. Which makes sense because you're spraying it on their bottom and you wash their bottom with shampoo. I see. I don't know why I always feel everything has to be so separate. I feel Johnson's and Johnson's really gets it because they have like that all-in-one thing, and I feel like other companies try to sell you on this whole shampoo, diaper cream, like everything has to be separate, and I don't think that's the case. Infant skin is pretty low maintenance unless you have something like eczema, and then chances are you're using something special for that anyhow. Anyways, I'm getting really wordy. I'm like looking at the time. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're already almost 45 minutes in, and I still have things on my list. Ah! Okay. I'm gonna stop lingering on each thing for so long. I already told you guys that I've got the applesauce Periscope video up, so I'm not even gonna go into that because you guys can go check it out, and that will be my thing. I'll put the recipe on the post on the website, but I'm not gonna go into it on here because I really want you guys to check out Periscope. So if I give it to you on here, maybe you guys want to check it out. So that'll be your incentive. You want the applesauce recipe, you gotta go watch the video on Periscope. And if it's not still on there, don't forget, go to catch.me.com/homebasepodcast. It'll be in the show notes. Squishy bags. We tried these this week and it was so fun. So you take a big Ziploc bag, fill it up with water, baby oil, hair gel, beads, fill it up with whatever you want. And then you're going to close it up, and I suggest putting duct tape over the top, and you can even put it around the edges of the entire edges of the bag because chances are they're going to chew on the corners, and I found this out the hard way. He was chewing on the corners, and I didn't know he had ripped a hole in it, and I had like baby oil all over my kitchen floor. So my whole kitchen floor was like super slippery for a couple days. It was a little dangerous. So put duct tape around all the edges, and then they just sit there and they play with it and it's squishy. They like smacking it, chewing it. You can do it on the table, on the floor. We did it in the kitchen on the linoleum, and he had a really good time. So squishy bags. What else did we do? Oh, I haven't got to try this yet because he's not doing Cheerios yet. Hopefully soon. But I saw this on Pinterest and I thought it was just the most brilliant thing ever. So it's a Cheerio necklace. So you're gonna take a piece of yarn and you're gonna make it really, really big so it slips over their head super easily, okay? Because you don't want them choking themselves or anything like that. And you string a bunch of Cheerios on there and then tie a little knot so it'll go over their heads, like I said, super easy. And take it with you the next time you're running errands in like the grocery store and they're in the cart or wherever they need a snack. Don't give it to this is my warning to go along with this, guys. Please do not give your kids anything like this when you cannot supervise them and you can't see them. Don't hand it to them when they're in the back seat of the car, okay? Because they could choke themselves with this. So please only give it to them if you are right there with them, like in the grocery store and they're in the cart and they just need a little bit of a distraction. But I thought, how great is that? Because how many times do we give our kids like Cheerios and stuff and they're dropping it all over the place? Well, here, it's on this little necklace, and if you want to eat it, you have to put it in your mouth and chew it off of the necklace. I thought it was the greatest idea ever. It's like those candy necklaces, you know, that we all had when we were kids. So, Cheerio necklace, I thought just so awesome. The last thing, I have a couple on here, but I'm sitting here looking at them. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm gonna save a couple of these. I'm going to save this one for next week. I'm sitting here looking at my list because I feel like we're running out of time here. So I'm going to save a couple of these for when we talk about older kids stuff, because they're right there borderline of like baby and older kids. So I've got two more things we're going to talk about. One is a super easy nursing cover. Okay, I'm all about breastfeeding in public, and I think we all have our great, great breastfeeding rights, but there are some people out there that still want to cover up. They're not comfortable with just yanking their t-shirt up and having their stomach and boobs hanging out everywhere, and that's totally fine. So for those of you that do like to breastfeed with a cover, I have a super easy, super affordable, and super fashionable idea and tip for you. I made one of these for my cousin that just had her baby 4 months ago, I'm sorry. And then I made three of them for me. They're super simple nursing covers. So go to a fabric store, pick out a fabric, a pattern that you like, and you're going to be wearing it. So pick out what you like. If you like pink and you have a boy, then who cares? Wear pink. Okay, and vice versa. This is going to be over their face. So, like, I have one that I really love. It's jersey material, and I used it in the winter when he was first born. Now that he's older, I have some for the summer that are, like, a real breezy, gauzy fabric. But if your whole point is to cover up and hide your breasts, then you want to make sure you're getting something that's not see-through. Or maybe you do want something that's see-through and you really don't care. It's up to you. But I'm just letting you know, kind of keep that in consideration when you're picking out a fabric. But so you're going to pick out a fabric and you're going to go and have them cut you a yard of fabric, okay? And then all you do is take this yard of fabric home and you're going to sew the two ends that they cut together. You're just going to sew one long straight line down, and there you go. You have an infinity scarf now. And that infinity scarf, you can look online, and there's all sorts of pictures, and I'll put them in the post, that show you how to cover up with an infinity scarf. And it's super simple. It's super cute. It's a great baby shower gift, because it will cost you literally under $10, and they're awesome. Every mom's gonna use one or need one at some point, because even if you don't care about breastfeeding in public, chances are you might care about breastfeeding in front of your grandparents or something like that, you know? So you're gonna wanna cover up at some point, probably. So great, great, awesome baby shower gift and gift for yourself. And then once your kid's all grown up, you can still wear it because it's an infinity scarf. It's awesome. So super easy nursing cover. Our last thing we're going to talk about is painting. So you all know that I'm super all about no chemicals, non-toxic, a little green, a little hippie, and that's okay. But so I've been struggling because I want to paint really bad with my little guy. But I'm like, everything goes in his mouth. And so I'm like, okay, I don't want to use actual paint. And I know there's non-toxic paint, but I'm still like, ugh, just the idea of him putting even non-toxic paint in his mouth, just so disgusting. And then I've looked online and there's like recipes that are like cornstarch and water and food coloring, and they can paint with that. And I'm like, yeah, but then my kid's sitting there eating a bunch of cornstarch, and that seems disgusting. And that's probably going to give him a bellyache later. Like, it just seems weird. I found a recipe, and you all are going to love it. It's super easy. They can eat it to their heart's content, and they can make some adorable, adorable art. Now, this art, chances are, isn't going to keep very well. It might be one of those scenarios where you hang the picture on your fridge for like a week and then you throw it away, and which is okay, you guys. It's okay. They're tiny enough. This art isn't going to matter to you in a couple years, and I know some people just went, oh, not going to matter. Trust me, I am one of those super over-the-top moms. I keep everything. My son's first pacifier is in a box in our closet because I refuse to let it go in the garbage, okay? So I understand keeping precious memories. You are going to get thousands of pieces of art, though, and these little super messy ones at the beginning are not going to be as precious to you as some that they really, really worked on later on. Take a picture of them doing the art at this age and then treasure the picture. Don't worry about the art, okay? It's about the process, not the product, okay? Coming from a former teacher, it's all about the process, not the product. So please keep that in mind. And on to the recipe. Okay, so the recipe for this paint is yogurt and food coloring. How much easier can you guys get? Isn't that amazing? Yogurt and food coloring. So get you some plain yogurt. You can, if you want a thicker consistency, you can get Greek, or you can just get regular yogurt. And just whatever it is, make sure it's white and add some food coloring in there. If you're anti-food coloring and add artificial colors and stuff like that, you could you can buy blueberry yogurt or strawberry or something that has a tint to it. You could get uber creative if you're super, super into no artificial stuff. You could add things like beet juice and orange juice and tint the colors. You could puree up some blueberries and mix it in to kind of tint the color a little bit. So you could go that route. But yogurt and food coloring, mix it up, put it in a bowl, put down paper all over the floor, strip them down to their diaper, and let them go crazy. I'm so excited. We haven't done it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it, and I will I'll get some fun pictures for you guys and probably put them on Instagram so you can check it out. So that is our last DIY for the day. I feel like I just ran through all of those. So I hope you guys got some good out of it. If not, it'll make more sense when it's on the website, I swear. Hopefully you at least had some fun listening to it, and hopefully it got you guys pumped. Please tell me it got you pumped. Pumped up. Woo woo! I want you guys all out there having fun with your kids and your babies and your hubbies and mamas. Everybody needs to have some fun. Get messy. So, that is our DIYs for the week. I feel like I'm running so fast through all of this. Okay, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back all nice and calm with our parenting hack of the week and our mommy mantra. So stay tuned. And we're back. All right, guys, so our parenting hack this week. Oh, so it was kind of emotional. I was going through my little boy's clothes because, guys, he's 8 months old. He turned 8 months old a couple days ago. 2 days ago. Well, 2 days ago for me. A couple days for you guys. And he's like in 12-month clothes, and they're like, some of them are starting to become too small, some still fit, but like there's no going back. He's never going to fit in 9-month stuff ever again. It's just not going to happen. So I was going through his clothes and like permanently boxing things up until we have baby number 2, if we ever have another baby. And so I was like, okay, we have so many clothes. I'm like, we just don't have the space to store all this. I'm like, I'm going to go through and just pick out the stuff that I really, really like or love that I want to save for the next one. So we got rid of a ton of stuff. And so I took it over to Once Upon a Child to try to see if they would buy some of it before I took it and donated the rest of it. Because I always like trying to get a couple bucks out of his clothes. That way I can buy him like a new pair of shoes. And I did. When I was there, I found him a jacket that still had the tags on it. And I found him a pair of shoes that still had the tags on it. And both of them were so cute. And they were totally They were totally adorable, and I was really excited about it. And so now he has a jacket for the winter season. It's a little big right now, but I am sure he'll grow into it by winter. And then the shoes, I got him like his next size up in shoes because his feet have finally decided to start growing. So all his little infant shoes are getting really snug. But so I did that, and they have like a toy section. And I don't know if any of you have like gone and have tried to buy your kids puzzles. Puzzles are so expensive. Like the little kid ones where it's like the little pieces and they fit in the little holes, you know. It's not like an actual puzzle that has pieces that you fit together. It's like a, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Like the big Melissa and Doug puzzles. And those things are so pricey. I mean, they're great. Most of them are all wood, and a lot of them are like hand painted, so they last, and that's awesome. But seriously, I'm like, some of them are so pricey. But this little, we went to a play date, and they had puzzles there at the library, and he loved it. And so I've been wanted to buy him a puzzle. But I'm like, I can't break down and spend like $12, $20 on a wooden puzzle. I'm like, this is crazy. So I found one at Once Upon a Child. It was $3.50, guys. $3.50. I was so stoked about it. I brought it home and like Cloroxed that puppy down and then like let it air dry. And then I wiped everything off with like a wet, warm wash rag. And then he has been super in love with that thing. It's so cute. It's like little animals, and it's got little knobs on it so he can pick up the animals with the knobs. He loves that thing. So my parenting hack this week is go check out your local secondhand kid stores, Once Upon a Child, any little consignment shop like that, and check out their toy section and books and stuff like that, because a lot of those things, they're selling them for super cheap, and then it's a major score for you. So be sure to check that out. And next time you're getting rid of some of that stuff, take it to your consignment shops. I'm all about consignment shopping. I think it's great. All right, our mommy mantra. So I wanted to find something to kind of go with being creative this week. And so this is a quote from Maya Angelou. And it goes something like this. You can't use up creativity. The more you use, the more you have. And I think that's awesome. And it's so true, guys. I know I was talking in the beginning. You just got to find the thing you're passionate about. And the more you do it, the more it just comes natural. The more you start thinking, oh, I bet I could just make that myself. Oh, I bet we could just do that. Or maybe I love this example. When I was a teacher, I went to a conference one year, and the speaker was up there, and she was telling us this great story that she had a little boy in her class, and he was in love with the blocks, and it was time to go out to recess, and he just did not want to leave. He wanted to play with the blocks, and she said, well, let's take the blocks outside, and she just kept asking herself, why not? And the whole activity just kept expanding. So they took the blocks outside and he built this fort. And then she was over there like asking him, like, how's your fort going? This looks great. And he's like, oh, Miss So-and-so, what if we had cars? Wouldn't that make it even better? And she's like, why not? And like the whole thing just kept growing. So soon they had cars, and then they had people, and they had this whole big thing that was going on, and they were doing it all outside, and it became this huge and involved the whole class. And then I think at some point it involved shaving cream. They started putting shaving cream on the blocks or something, and then they sprayed them with the hose. But it's just, the whole point is that you start small, and then your creativity, it just grows. The more you use it, the more it just comes naturally, and it's so much fun. And I promise you guys, find something you're passionate about. Like I said, it could be the cleaning, it could be art with your kids, it could be cooking, it could be repurposing things. You know, like the egg carton or the jars. just find your niche, and Pinterest is great for that. But check out the website this week. I'm going to have all these ideas on there, and chances are I may even add a couple. I haven't decided if the ones we didn't get to, if I'm going to add them or if I'm going to save them to talk about on another episode. So you'll have to check it out and see. All right, guys, that's our episode this week. I'm so sorry if I've info dumped all over you guys, but I hope you all are pumped up and excited. And don't forget to go check us out now on Instagram and Periscope, and go check out the new URL on the website. Homebase Podcast is everywhere, people, and we're here to stay. Love you all. Have a great week.